and welcome, my friend, to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. It is my honor to have you here with me today. My name is Brad Tabke, and here at Minnesota Gardening, we are guiding homeowners just like you on feeding pollinators, eliminating chemicals, and saving water in our home landscape, lawn, and food garden. So thank you so much for being here. So over the course of the last probably 2 weeks, we've gotten a lot of questions from folks about plants in their landscape that have just started to grow. It has been a, by multiple digits, been the warmest December in Minnesota that we have ever experienced in recorded history. It has been really, really warm, and it's forced a lot of really odd things to be happening. So a lot of folks have irises and some peonies that are starting to sprout, a lot of different perennials and herbs have started to grow. I have kale that is pushing new growth at the top of kale that I didn't pull out this fall. So there's just a lot of stuff that's happening. Lilacs have started to break bud. Forsythia has started to break bud. And it's just a scary, weird thing that we don't normally experience here in northern climates, upper Midwest like Minnesota. And so it's a very odd thing and really disconcerting to have this happening, especially, you know, around New Year. So it's finally a little bit colder here. This is the first episode of 2024. And so with that, we're glad to have at least some cold weather and not too cold weather. But if you go back to our episode a couple weeks ago with Mark Seeley, you'll see that we're not going to experience a normal winter in the slightest this year. So go back and listen to that one next if you have not yet. But today we're going to talk about dormancy and how what's happening with our plants. So a lot of folks are really nervous that plants are going to die and things are going to happen that way. And in general, we don't need to worry too much about that, but I'll get to that at the end of this episode here. But with that, this is something new to climates like ours. This is not something that we've had happen very often. Of course, there are one-offs and little things happening here and there. But for the most part, once we hit winter, we are dormant up in our area. So having things growing out of season is very, very uncharacteristic. This is something that happens actually quite often southern exposure, so where it stays warmer during the winter, and things that have a more a less cold winter season where they have experience, especially in the shoulders of winter, more warm temperatures in Kansas City and Oklahoma City and that kind of thing. But it's not something that we normally experience up here. So we're going to head in, dive into a really what I find fascinating. So this is a bit of a wonky, nerdy episode as well. And so warning to all those who aren't up for that kind of thing, but stick with it. I think it's really, really good and important information that you might find as fascinating, or at least partially as fascinating, as I do. So the dormancy process in trees and shrubs and perennials is just really, really interesting. There are thousands of unseen things happening in our plants that it's really very much unstudied at this point. There's some information that's out there, and we've learned have a horticulture degree from Iowa State University. And so we talked about it some at that point, but just the basics, and especially breaking dormancy, has really very little information out about that. And so there hasn't been a ton of studies done on it. And so this is really a breaking new type of science that there's a long way to go and a lot more to understand as it goes. But as we get into the fall months in our landscapes, there are two main things that cause our plants to start to head into dormancy. And those two main things are day length and temperature changes. And so as it starts to get cooler, some plants start to recognize cooler temperatures as a reason to start heading into dormancy. And so with this, as we know with climate change, there are things that are fluctuating greatly. Those plants that this varies widely between different families of plants, between different species of plants, between trees and shrubs and perennials, and everybody has a different way of handling heading into dormancy. So this is an overarching type understanding of what is going on with everything. But temperature and day length both play heavily into pretty much everything that is heading into dormancy. So some plants that as it gets colder react to the temperature. And so some things that we consider perennials here in Minnesota are actually more shrubby plants further south where they are up for they're active and growing for longer periods of time. So there are differences between perennials and shrubs and those kinds of things, and annuals as well. And so we'll talk about the day length first, because this is one that I find really interesting. In the bark of our plants, so in the outermost parts of stems and along the bud areas are things called phytochromes, P-H-Y-T-O chromes, so phytochromes that are in there that basically they track how long they're receiving light every day. And so it's not the spectrum that we can see in light. It's a different spectrum that is red versus far red spectrum. So during the day, the plants receive signals from light. And so that is, they see the red light, and so they send signals to make sure that they're in active growth and they're moving and they're getting things done. As they get to have more far red light, that means they're in the shade. So that could be that they are growing under the canopy of some other trees so that they won't grow as fast at that point. It could mean that it is longer nighttime areas. And so that even during active growth cycles, plants have really different ways of reacting to red and far red light. So between being in the sunlight and between being in the shade, they have different ways of handling this. So if you think about one of the most commonly known ones is within onions. And so if you're growing onions in Minnesota, there are differences between long day and short day onions for when they are, when they are setting out their bulbs and when they get really big and fat. And so long day onions, which is what we primarily grow here in Minnesota and in the northern latitudes, they need 14 to 16 hours a day of sunlight in order to get that big bulb that we want in onions. And then short day onions need 10 to 12 hours. So they have in their phytochromes, they are measuring how much red versus far red light they are getting. And that's when they know they're supposed to do their thing. Another really good example of it is there's a really big study on poplars in Sweden. And they begin to start to head into dormancy when the red to far red ratio is 21 hours of sunlight or less. They start to head into dormancy every year. So that happens, in August is when that starts to change. And so this photoperiodism is just really interesting and has many different ways of affecting plants. So it has bulb growth, it has flowering times, it really affects a lot of different things that happen in the plants. And it happens all winter long as well. So it's fascinating to me how these plants are always checking in on what's going on. And so they have these phytochromes that are working all winter long and all year long as well. So another one that indicates to the plant that it needs to head into dormancy is temperature changes. And so some plants rely solely on temperature changes that tell them it's time to start heading into dormancy and to have all these different molecular level changes that the plant does when it starts to head into dormancy. So the most obvious one that we see is the changes in leaf color. And so plants will go from green leaves, that pigments, the chlorophyll and things will leave the plant. So you see what's really underneath of there. And so they start to break down as everything is shutting down for the winter, but they also start to move water around in the plant. So we think of plants generally as being dry during the winter and that kind of thing. And that is true. They push a lot of the water down into the root system and below the frost line if those plants are growing that deep of roots, but also they move in a molecular level, they move all the water out of the cells so that when they freeze, when it gets below freezing temperatures, that those cells are not going to explode. And so they move a lot of salts and sugars and different things into each cell of that plant and push the water out so that they are not, and they build an antifreeze-like substance in there that keeps those cells from rupturing when it freezes. And so it's just all these different things happening all at one time. They also, as well, on all the buds that they've developed that are overwintering, they form a really hard shell on those buds so that they are protected during the winter months. And so these plants do so many things to head into dormancy. And now what we're experiencing, what we have experienced here is that some plants are breaking dormancy early. And so you see those lilacs that have pictures of lilacs that have started to bud out. You see the irises that have started to grow. And so these plants generally are on the south side of a house. So they retain heat from, brick facades. They have windows that are shining and that soil is heating up a lot more around them. And so those are primarily where you see those things, not entirely, but a lot of the times what we saw, have seen with this breaking dormancy early is that kind of thing. It's also generally in plants that are not native to Minnesota. All of our native plants are pretty smart about these things, and they are not the ones that are breaking dormancy right now. And so we'll get to that in just a little bit as well. So the opposite of heading into dormancy and breaking dormancy, opposite patterns start to emerge in breaking dormancy for heading. So you've got some plants are dominated by day length. So they wait until the days are longer before they start to break dormancy. Most of them, however, are temperature related. So that's why we see these bud breaks in lilacs and forsythias and those kinds of things, is because they break dormancy because of the temperature. So that happens there. There are also other plants, and many of them have, especially our native ones, have a cold period that they're required to before they're able to break dormancy. And what happens there is it's basically like the cells shut down and they put a big cork in some of the holes that go in and out of the cells, and it requires a cold period in order to break those corks down. And so once they get, you know, 3 months of, once we get 3 months of cold period, then they'll be able to start moving things in and out of the cell again. But up until we have that cold period, they aren't able to do that. And so there's a lot of things that are being studied and a lot that we're learning about breaking dormancy right now. And there's a ton of chemicals that are moving up and through the plant, especially coming from the roots. And so like ethylene, which is the chemical that we have often used for, that you see as you're ripening apples or different types of fruits, ethylene is something that's really important in that process. It's also really important in breaking dormancy. And so that is what helps those hard shells around the buds to start to soften and allow those buds to grow again and different things like that. So breaking dormancy has a variety of ways that it happens that we need to learn a lot more about, as I keep saying on here, but it is just, I feel like I'm using the word fascinating too much here, but it's just a really, really fascinating process to watch. And so if you think about just a, you know, an oak tree and what, how much it takes to get that going again in the spring. And then you've got evergreen trees, and we've got our native, you know, pines and spruce and firs and all those kinds of things here in Minnesota and the upper Midwest that don't go into dormancy the way that we think about evergreen, deciduous trees and shrubs and perennials going into dormancy. But they have a lot of the same procedures. They move all the water out of their cells as well into that interstitial area between the cells so that those cells don't rupture and blow up as well. So there's a lot of different things that are very similar happening in evergreens because they don't do a ton during the winter. They just stay green and their chlorophyll does not break down in the same way. So, like I said, the plants that we have that are having these problems right now, they're going to struggle from it. They most likely won't die, but it's a tax on their systems. And so they will go back through the dormancy process and they'll head back into dormancy and they'll be, hopefully we won't have any big warm spells like we've already had as well this year, but they will be hanging out again until spring when they get to re-break dormancy. And so with that, I think that they'll mostly be okay. And so ways to avoid this kind of thing happening. You don't see this, like I said, much happening with native plants. Native plants were built to grow here. They are built to require a long winter season in order to head back into that growth cycle. Native plants are really important in making sure that we are not having plants that are going to sprout and break buds in the middle of winter. And they just know how to grow in Minnesota. They've always grown in Minnesota for eons, and they have evolved to be here. So it's really important that we grow native plants. And with that, we are having a winter workshop for winter sowing on January 10th at 8 p.m. So you can go to minnesotagardening.com and sign up for that. It is the cheapest, best way to grow native plants here in Minnesota. So we'll go over that in depth on winter sowing. That's January 10th, 2024 at 8 p.m. So you can join us for that. As well, another way to do it is to avoid cultivars and make sure to have seed grown plants wherever you can. So there is a wide variety. A lot of people don't know, like when you buy an Autumn Brilliance Serviceberry, Goldstrom Rudbeckia, or a autumn blaze maple that has a specific name to it, those are all genetically the exact same plant from one to the other to the other. Those are all grown from cuttings of those plants, and they are all the exact same genetic thing. So there's no genetic variety. There's no ways for that plant to adapt to a location. And so avoiding cultivars and getting seed-grown plants from local nurseries is really important, because it as our climate is changing, we need to make sure that we're identifying which plants do really well in our area. So that's how evolution has worked, is the good ones, they continue, and the ones that are able to handle change are able to grow and change with a changing climate. And if we're using the exact same genetic material across the board, that just won't happen. So we're not going to find these Rudbeckias that are able to handle our new changing climate that way. So it's really important that we try wherever we can to have seed-grown plants. And so again, winter workshop, January 10th. Also, you need to make sure to know where those plants are coming from. So a lot of our plants that we sell here at nurseries are not actually grown in Minnesota. They are grown in Washington and Oregon and other places, and not built to grow here in our climate in Minnesota. So having plants that are seed from local areas is really important, that they're locally grown as well. And so this is a concept called provenance, and it just means it's something from the area. And so if you, for example, bur oaks are just a fantastic plant that we grow here throughout Minnesota, but those are native from southern Canada to southern Texas. And so having a bur oak that is from southern Texas is the same species as it is here in Minnesota, but it won't grow as well here in Minnesota as it would in southern Texas, because it is more used to those warmer winters. It's used to having different times of year when it enters dormancy and breaks dormancy. And so make sure you're having Minnesota grown oaks and all those plants that are locally grown. So with that, I hope you learned something about dormancy and how dormancy works, and why it's important that we have native plants and that we're buying locally and that we're having seed-grown plants to avoid monocultures of plants here. So in general, this weird December that we had won't hurt your plant. It will be able to, it'll come through it with no problem whatsoever. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. The worst thing that's going to happen is that you will lose some blooms. So if like those lilacs and forsythias and magnolias that started to break bud early here, you might lose some of those blooms that are going to be early season blooms that we really, really know and love. But also, if you'll notice that none of those plants that I just mentioned are native to Minnesota. And so those are ones that we are just not going to see. Probably if they started to bloom, started to break bud already and break dormancy, we're going to lose some of those flowers in spring, and it's not going to be as big and healthy of a show, but the vast majority of everything will be just fine. So in general, the answer here is to grow native plants and to continue learning and growing about native plants here in Minnesota. And we're happy at Minnesota Gardening to do that with you every single day. So make sure to head over to minnesotagardening.com, check out the show notes for this episode, and we will roll from there. So have fun feeding pollinators, limiting chemicals, and saving water, my friend. Have a great day.